Welcome to Frickety Frack, We Do Talk Back. Thank you for joining me in this episode. My name is Patrick, and I'm Frack. Frickety Frack, We Do Talk Back is a show where I discuss different aspects of fandom and how they relate to the gospel. So I'm going to be going through an episode of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2003 series and connecting it to lessons from the Bible. The name of the show came from my dad, who dubbed my brother and me Frick and Frack since we were kids. So we're going over the third episode of the Ninja Turtles series, Attack of the Mousers. And so there's a lot of great stuff that happened in this episode. So we get the initial part of the origin of the Ninja Turtles. So for the first two episodes, for those who know the Ninja Turtles, know their origin, but this is the first time it's told in canon for this story arc on what their origin is going to be. And so it falls fairly closely to the comic book origin. Now there's slight modifications, because when you read the original comic origin, there is some homage to Daredevil's origin, and so, because for those who don't know, the Ninja Turtle cartoon or the Ninja Turtle series, it was originally a parody slash homage to Frank Miller's Daredevil run. And so there's some ties to that in the origin. There's some great stuff that happened as they tell a little bit of their origin to April. And so it's just really great to kind of see the groundwork that they're laying. And once again, it's just, I love that it's staying fairly close to the original comics of the Ninja Turtles. So the Mousers operate in a way that is very similar to the comic book, where Stockman uses them to rob banks. Now, Stockman in the comics, he also uses it as a form of blackmail, like he threatens buildings and as act of terrorism and things like that. But he does not do that in this one, because his ties to the Foot Clan are driving his neat want for wealth and power and things like that, which he wants that anyways, but he's working with the Foot, so he's furthering their continued goals together. And so but once again, it's close to what the comics were doing, where this is what Stockman was doing to help steal money and things like that. As of right now, this is the episode, I think, that displays their ninja skills the most. Like, now, obviously, they've shown their athletics and acrobatics and combat skills. This is the first time we really kind of see them doing any, major stealth work. I mean, they had some teensy-weensy bit in the first episode, but not a whole lot. So this is the first time we really see them really acting as ninjas. With their breaking and entering, and they show their ability to work with April, and April proves her own tech genius, being able to do multiple different things that, technically speaking, most people might not necessarily be able to do even if they're good with computers. She was able to disarm electronic sensors, looping security cameras, things like that, where, people of computing engineering degrees might not necessarily know how to do all that stuff. It's just kind of one of those interesting things, just proving how intelligent April actually is. And speaking of that, that is one of the things that I've really been waiting to point out in this series, is how Donnie is kind of, in my opinion, is usually the MVP of the Ninja Turtles group. And we get this because before the mission, April points out that Stockman's building is going to have the latest up-to-the-minute best security. So, in that way, you're kind of getting the idea that, Stockman is going to be constantly improving the security, always growing and doing more and doing better. And then Mikey's like, oh, yeah, well, he hasn't met our tech genius, Donnie, and there's nothing he can't do, blah, 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 those kind of things. And so, for me, it's tough for the Ninja Turtles to not function without Donatello, especially when he becomes a genius. Now, in his you know, his original, in the original comics, you know, he has a propensity for it. It wasn't really, in my opinion, until the 87 cartoon show when he becomes a super genius. Now, the original comic runs, he does great, you know, things where he's able to do tech work and, you know, he fixes a hot water heater and helps April and the comic destroy the Mousers, that kind of thing. So he does all those things, but it's nothing like outstanding. But it's like I said, it's the 87 cartoon show where he becomes a super genius, and that has always been it has been a staple now of his character, because not only is he's the tech repairer, he's an inventor, he's the medic, he's the chemist, all of those different things that you need. Donnie's the one who fills that role. He does just a little bit of everything, and I mean, he builds, you know, the Shellraiser, the party wagon, all of those different things that he does. The blimps, the 2012 series, there's that giant turtle mech that he builds, and it's just one of those things. It's like, he's he is a rare talent, and without him, all of this stuff wouldn't happen. And so it's just, this is just the kind of first real taste of it where they're setting this up for, Donnie, he's the tech genius. And for me, the tech genius is usually the most underrated, but also the most valuable for people. Like on The Leverage, I've done The Leverage show a couple different times, but the hacker usually does a lot that is necessary, like especially when it was the original Leverage crew, where Hardison did so much for the team that was absolutely necessary. And it was just one of those interesting things that without him they wouldn't function as well. And it's the same thing with the Ninja Turtles. Without Donatello, the team wouldn't function as well. They just wouldn't have as much. The other thing that's really kind of interesting that happens in this episode is that we get introduced to Hun for the first time. And through the use of Hun, he delivers Stockman back to Shredder, and Shredder promises Stockman some punishment for his failure. And because of all of this, the Mousers are brought back in, the recordings, and he sees an image of their biosignature in that way of the turtles. Now, he can't necessarily tell that they're turtles just yet, but he does know that they are something different, and they have really kind of gained Shredder's notice. And so obviously this is going to be coming to a head in coming episodes, and I'm looking forward to that journey with you guys. If you have not watched the 2K3 series, it's really great. I really recommend it. So the biblical theme is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. This is what the Bible says. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. I chose this verse because at the end of the episode, Baxter's pride comes back around, and his failures comes around to teach him a lesson. Because Stockman, throughout the second and third episode, he responds to everything that, he's the one who knows best. He's the one who, is smarter than everyone else, and he's the most intelligent. He's the most devious. Everyone should be working for him. Like, that's the vibe he gives. And that's also some of the foreshadowing, because I know what ends up happening to Baxter Stockman throughout the series. And so it's just, it's the way he is. But every step of the way, he's either thwarted by the turtles or April. And he's just like, he views himself as untouchable to the Shredder. So when he views this as a minor setback, that Stocktronics destruction, that, he figured, yeah, sure, just give me some more of that funding from the Foot, and I'll start over, and I'll be back to work on Monday. And, and Shredder, being a villain, does not take kindly to his failure. And so, of course, we don't find out what Stockman's punishment is just yet. We'll find that out later. Because, as I said, obviously he's not done with the show just yet. And so, you know, he's had this pride. He's like, you know, he thinks he knows better. He's like, this reminds me of Vasini from The Princess Bride, where he's like, you know, he keeps saying inconceivable while everything that Wesley does. And, you know, in Eagle Montoya, he says, like, I don't think you know what that word really means. And so anyway, so it's just one of those things where, you know, and his pride kept getting the better of him. But anywho, and so the reason why I chose this and wanted to teach from this is because us as individuals, or even as a group, we can have a lot of pride. And our pride causes harm. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be proud of the work that we've done. Like, we've done good work in the Lord, or, you know, accomplished a great task or anything like that. Obviously, you know, having pride in that's not a bad thing. But when it becomes the center of who we are, that's when the harm happens. So we think about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. It says, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And so I think about this, about how, you know, Baxter, he's so full of pride. He's like, I'm the best. I'm the genius. I know what I'm doing. Shredder, you should be working for me. He doesn't say that, but that's his act. Like I said, that's his attitude. And so for us as Christians, we can have the same thing where our own pride is saying, I know best. You should follow me. And worse yet, you might be saying this to God, being like, God, I know best. You should follow my plan. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to be like the Shredder and, you know, punish you in that way. But, you know, it's one of those things where we have to remember that, you know, we're following God's plan. God's perfect plan that he has for us is an act of humility, but it's also an act of maturity, because we realize that, yes, God does, in fact, know what is best for us. And we should do what God has asked of us. And it might be hard, it might be difficult, it might even be a little scary. But knowing that God has asked something of us means that God is going to make sure that we can do what is best in his eyes. And so I want to encourage you in this day is that, okay, let's set aside our own pride and instead put on the clothes of Christ. Stop being caring about what is going to make us better, but instead let us do what God has asked us to do and to glorify God. So, how would I rate this episode? The origin part is great. The humor that they have, that the turtles have with April and her coming to grips with everything that's going on. Those are great moments. It's very enjoyable. Veronica Taylor is doing a great job voicing April. And so it's one of those things where there's not a whole lot of action or anything like that, but the origin being told so well and thwarting Baxter Stockman's plans, all while not having to really do a whole lot of fighting, I think is actually pretty good. So I'm going to give this episode a solid 4. So it's not a perfect episode. Obviously there could have been some more fighting. Like, they actually don't really fight a whole lot of the Mousers this go around. But it's one of those things where it's just, you know, it wasn't necessary, it wasn't needed. But I just really enjoyed every moment of the episode. The humor was great. The character moments were great. So it was a great, solid episode, solid 4. Definitely worth checking out. All right, so anyone with questions for me about the biblical lesson that I talked about in this episode or any other discussion ranging from anime, comics, or just anything in general, feel free to email me at frickityfracktalkback@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter at frickityf or at frickityfrack on Instagram and Facebook. So please rate, review, and subscribe. Remember that I love you, most importantly, God loves you, and cowabunga!